don't talk and just have
Love
fun.
Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be back here another week. And today we're going to have lots and lots of fun. I guess everybody's starting to enjoy, no matter where you are, you're starting to enjoy good weather in most parts of the world. And today I'm really excited. We are going to spend the entire show with a fantastic guest, talking about leadership, mindset, and he certainly knows all about it. Instead of us breaking up the show today, we're just going to focus totally on that, and really, really exciting. We never have enough time with the shows. It just seems like the topic could go for 2 to 3 days as a workshop, but we try to give you as much as possible. And for those of you who'd like to call in number is 347-945-5428. And Dave Ferguson, I'm going to go ahead and introduce this, internationally known, he's an executive coach, speaker, recognized as a also coach, mentor, speaker, and trainer in the areas of leadership and personal development. He helps business owners, executives, top management leaders, and political leaders, which is going to be interesting to talk about in today's climate, transform how they communicate, connect, and grow as leaders. He also equips individuals, thought leaders, and organizations with high-performance solutions to ensure continuous improvement, personal growth, and business results. Prior to starting his coaching company, Dave already had 20 years of corporate leadership experience in sales, business development, audit, acquisitions, and more. He assists bosses in becoming leaders and helps leaders build legacies. Dave's also an executive leadership coach for the John Maxwell Company and Keller Williams Maps Business Coaching Company. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hello. How you doing?
It's wonderful. Thank you so much for being on. I've noticed that you've been traveling quite a lot lately since I see your post on Facebook. It's such a neat avenue now. You know, you kind of know where everybody is.
Yeah,
and so glad to have you on today. And as I mentioned in the beginning, this time is going to fly by. And we never have enough time to.
Thanks for having me back, and I can testify that the weather is getting really nice around the country. So, because I've been around it lately. So,
where have you been lately? You've been all over, huh?
I have been. I feel like March and April was Phoenix. Phoenix, Scottsdale. I was in Arizona March and April, like 4 times, I think. In
wow.
Tucson, and I've been to Hilton Head and Atlanta and New York City. I've been all over the place lately, but I'm home right now, believe it or not.
Oh, good for you. There's no place like home.
Days.
I always get the itch, though, to get on the planes. I like to travel, but then it's nice to always come back home.
Mm-hmm, it is.
So
it really, really is.
Well, you are just amazing with what you're doing. You're really such a leader and teaching people how to lead. And tell us, what got you into that? What got you started years ago? It says you had the corporate leadership, but what put you into the drive to do that?
Well, you know, when I came out of corporate America, I, within 6 months, started my own coaching company. And
wow.
I found very quickly that we have become I kind of knew this from my corporate days, but I cemented it when I came out and I really started working with a lot of other different companies. And I kind of found out that, you know, we've become a society where we put bosses on pedestals and we don't recognize leaders. And if you think about that, you know, we have National Bosses Day, we have, you know, shows named after bosses, you know, Who's the Boss, Undercover Boss, coffee mugs, shirts. But do you ever see anything about a leader? The only time you see anything about a leader is when they're falling down.
Wow.
And so if you think about it, so I realized that the problem in the world is not that we don't know what leadership is, it's that we know what it isn't.
That's a good point. So,
what do you find? Right?
I mean, you find a lot of bosses. Yeah, so that's what got you kind of really. You with the corporate, going from the corporate environment into your own, you were able to write your own rules, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I mean, I
and
had
how
some
you
help.
Trained.
Look, I've had some help. I mean, I've put myself very, very close and in the right position with some people that were ahead of me in the game. You know, my relationship with John Maxwell is pretty well documented. We do a lot of business together. He's the number one leadership guy in the world. So if you're going to do something, you know, if you're going to do something in the leadership business, you pretty much, you know, partnering with John Maxwell is not a bad way. And, you know, because we do a lot of servant leadership teaching and working and coaching. And so it's been a natural fit. And here's the other thing is that, look, I like to help people. Okay. We make leadership look difficult. We make leadership look difficult. We make looking like a boss. We make acting like a boss look easy, and it's honestly it's quite the opposite. It's kind of like the old saying that it takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown.
Yeah, it takes like 72 to frown and 14 to smile. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it takes a lot less energy to be a leader than it does to be a boss. Okay.
Really?
But we just haven't taught people that. We make leadership seem tough, and you know why? Because leaders up at the top, that's part of their problem, is that they don't want other people to get there with them.
Wait a minute. I've got a question for you, because when you say that to me, bosses and leaders, and then me being an entrepreneur for 30 some years, and feeling and having to be that wearing too many hats, are you saying basically that is it that a leader learns to delegate better, and bosses aren't leaders? Because I think to me, as a boss, as a leader as well.
You can't be both.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote a book. About it.
I need to hire you, Dave.
Have you not read my book?
Are you taking on any more clients?
I can make an exception.
okay.
Have you not read my book?
Oh God, no. You know what? Go ahead. It was an Amazon bestseller, right?
Yeah, Boss or Leader. So it helps people really. It kind of helps people analyze where they are, how we can act like a boss, and how we can act like a leader, and then helps you kind of put it together and say, well, wow, this leadership thing's not that difficult, is it?
Wow. Well, then give
so
me
really
an example. Does that mean if you're a boss? Well, I mean, if you're a boss, say you're a boss and you have, you know, your employees and staff, and you're still doing the a lot of the business in real estate, because a lot of our listeners are brokers and agents, although the general public listens as well. So give me an example, because I'm, you know, thinking you could be a boss and a leader.
Mm-hmm. So a boss, both a boss and a leader direct people, right?
Okay.
A lot of it is in how we direct people. See, generally a boss directs people from behind them, and they're directing them and giving them, in essence, tasks and orders to do. Well, a leader
like
directs
micromanaging.
Yes. So a leader directs you alongside of you. Okay? So they connect with you. See, generally, a lot of bosses don't connect with their people. Okay? They connect to an outcome that they want. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
A leader communicates effectively and actually connects with the team that they're leading, and they develop the outcome.
So the team leads themselves, so to speak, but because of the leader.
Yeah. See, leadership is not about position.
Okay.
leadership is not about positionality. See, we've been developed to think that leadership is about position, but I, you know, worked with a company this morning, and the one division that I'm working with has 100 employees in it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My
okay.
conversation with, I had all 100 on the phone today. My conversation
wow.
with them is that every single one of you are a leader. You just don't know it. And
right,
so
they get to... Yeah.
Everyone can be a leader. You don't have to be in the vice president's seat or the owner's seat to lead people or lead yourself. Okay? We just like, it's one of those things we try to make look difficult in society. And like I said earlier, we definitely know what leadership is because we see people, you know, in high-level positions with character flaws all the time. And that's what
right.
so we know what it is, and it's just a mystery to a lot of people of what leadership really is.
Hmm.
And I help
so if you're a part of listeners are going to be small, are small and mom-pop brokerages, so they may have 10 to 15 agents. They're basically family-owned, usually, some REMAX agents. So say it's a smaller operation, you know, where a lot of the brokers are actually out there listing and selling themselves. You know, as well, they're not just managing. So what recommendation would you have for a broker who is the boss, manager, and running the show to, in effect, would you recommend them to step away and lead their team and not get involved in the actual day-to-day, or would you, I mean, recommend that they bring in another leader? I know that's a loaded question because
it depends
on how much they're doing.
I think it depends on the size of the team. I think
okay.
it depends on whether that broker is going to still originate business or not.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of different things in there that I'd have to know before I could answer that directly. But I would say to you that there are things that you can do regardless of which way you're going to go in those two directions, whatever way you're going to go, I think it would work either way. The number one thing that's missing today in any business, I get asked this question all the time, is communication. And leaders connect with their people and communicate. Bosses just communicate. And they expect
they kind of micromanage and tell them what to do, right?
Yeah, they're bullies, and they bully them a lot of times.
Right.
And they also assume, this is one of the worst assumptions that we can make, they also assume that people come to work for one reason.
Money.
Right.
And it's not true, right?
It's not always true. Now, let me finish this thought, but the premise of my book was 90% of your people come to work for one reason, and it's not you.
Right. That's
because
that's
you're
good.
A boss. But leaders
and
connect with their people. Leaders connect with their people and find out their why. Why are they doing this? Why do they get up and come to work every morning? What are they doing with the money they make? They connect with them, and so they know their why. And so once you know their why, you can lead people. You know, show me
that
a
is
boss.
Such a good point.
I can document this. Show me a boss that's hitting his goals. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show you a boss or a company that is setting, they're not setting the goals too high and missing, they're setting the goals too low and hitting.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right, think about that.
That makes total sense, yeah. Well,
and so there is a big difference between the two.
That's so the characteristics for a successful, losing my drum, leader, one's going to be that they communicate well, right? Are they visionary always, or can
yes.
anybody be turned into a leader?
I think anybody can be a leader.
Okay.
I think anyone can be a leader. If you want to be a leader, you can be a leader. It's all on how we define leadership. Leadership, John Maxwell says leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Okay. You influenced me to be on this show today.
Okay.
Right?
No, exactly. And I'm used to kind of being direct and getting out there and leading. I don't know if it's the, I don't know if it's the leading that people would like or not. You know, no, because I've been in this so long.
Just look behind you. Who's following you?
Right. Okay. That's a good point.
It's a simple
test. You know what? No, it's a good point. I think what happens to a lot of entrepreneurs though is that when you're in a smaller entrepreneur, and then you can grow and leverage, like we have a membership association, which I love leveraging that because you're able to teach people, and then if they like it, they do it, and if they don't, you know, it's not like you're forcing them to do it. As in your own smaller company, it can be where, you know, you have to get these certain things have to be done, certain quotas have to be made. So somebody has to get it up the difference. And I think I can see where a lot of smaller brokerages have the fear of being able to figure out how to do the balancing act when these companies, you have budgets and they need to hire more people. And then, of course, if they're bringing in more money, then they can hire this one or that one. But when you're a smaller company, you may not have the hundreds and thousands of dollars or millions of dollars that these, you know, huge corporations have to invest in getting the right people or having the money to, I don't want to say throw away, but the money that can be lost trying to find the right people. So I think the smaller, you know, there's a fine line there in growing that. So you take companies and you're teaching them how to transform how they're connecting and growing and then doing this in a simpler fashion rather than making it difficult. So you must be able to really look at the big picture, and that's amazing to me because I think, and I can say for myself included, for us small mom-pop brokerages, I mean, I've always done a ton of business myself, but it's not the same situation when you're trying to grow these businesses. You feel like it's almost like seeing the, you know, can't see the forest, you know, from the trees type of thing because it just, you feel like there's a block there. So you're able to, that's awesome. When you say it's easier to be a leader than a boss, I love that too. That sounds really.
I'll give you an example. I'm working with a company right now that's got just over 10,000 employees.
Wow.
Okay. Now my goal, they don't know my goal, but my goal with them is to get all 10,000 employees to act like a leader. Now they've hired me to get about 100 people better at leadership. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
But see, one of the things about leaders multiply, bosses divide. Okay?
Oh.
So think about this, right? So those 100 can multiply and get me to the 10,000. Okay. Because they're leaders.
Right.
And so my leadership talking, my coaching, my writing with them, is getting them to not only become a better leader themselves, but to look at their job as one of their jobs is to develop other leaders. So when you're a leader, you see the leadership ability in everyone.
Right.
And so when you're that kind of leader, you start compounding your leadership skills and you start multiplying.
That's fantastic.
Bosses don't want other people at their level.
They're afraid they may lose their position, or they just don't want them to be.
That's exactly. Fear. That's right.
Wow.
So leaders,
but you know,
leaders think more abundantly.
Yeah, that's. But the thing. But I mean, do you believe when you're working with this company and you're going to go and you're looking for 10,000 leaders instead of just 100 and duplication? Are you assessing the people into what they're doing? Because I mean, there's all these different types of personalities, right? Can lead
all 100. Yeah, I've done assessments on all 100 people that I'm working with there.
Okay.
So I have assessments on them. Yeah, I do. I assess them. But I also talk to them.
Does that mean that maybe out of those 100 that you've assessed, will you maybe find 50 aren't going to work because they just do have that leadership drive, or is it not the case? I'm just wondering. Because
if they want it bad enough, they can have it.
Okay. Wow.
It's really not that difficult.
I've seen as a smaller company for hiring people since like 1987, I think. No, wait, 1986, I think, was when I first started hiring people. And always because of me personally being young, 23, and getting into the business at the time, not anymore, and thinking, I did it, so they can do it. And if they want to do it, and they say you interview people, and someone seems psyched, you know, excited, and it was, it's always been easy to get them to do sales if you're kind of walking through, but you get excited thinking, well, this person can do that, and then sometimes you find after a while they're not doing it, they don't have it, and it was a mistake because I just, you know, and that's where I think the assessments come in. So it seems difficult, and you make it easy, but you know, I guess because there's a process.
Why not keep it simple?
So how do you keep it simple? Do you immediately find out, hey, looks like you really want to do it, or no, you don't want to do it, let's take you out of leadership?
No, I don't do that anyway. But, I mean, look, I mean, generally if I'm coaching someone to be a better leader, they want to be a better leader.
Okay, good.
Right? Okay?
Yeah. But if the company's bringing you in and there's 10,000 employees and they're telling you they want 100 leaders out of them, then that may not always be the case, right? It may be you have to figure out who wants to step up or who doesn't.
In this case, they handed me 100 managers, okay?
Oh.
I didn't call them leaders out of the gate, okay, because I don't know if they were leaders, right? So they gave me 100 of their top. They gave me 100 of their top managers who are all in leadership positions.
Okay.
Leadership position is the lowest level of leadership. I call it boss-ship, not leadership. Okay?
Really? Okay.
Yes. It's the lowest level of leadership. It means you were given a position, you bought your way into a position, you bought a business, someone saw some ability in you. It's the lowest level of leadership. Okay? The hardest step in a leader's life is to get to the next level. And that's because it takes connection.
Wow.
Okay? It takes connection.
Right.
If you can connect with people, they will give you permission to lead them.
Sure.
But think about it. Think about it. We all communicate. Very few of us really, really connect now. Very few of us. So I help these people. Some of them are natural connectors. Okay? But most people are
not.
A lot of us have to work
right.
very hard on it. You would think I was a natural connector, but I have to work really hard to connect with people, okay? But I work hard at it, and it's an exercise for me. And so I do it every single day. I am adamant about getting to know about people. I want to know stuff.
Right.
And on my first coaching call with executives, I tell my life story, and then they tell me theirs. And we find four or five things in every single story, every call I've done, thousands of clients, I've found at least one or two things in that first call that we could connect with. We found common ground around something. The problem with bosses
right.
is they don't find common ground with their employees. Okay? If you want
right, that makes
people
sense.
To lead, if you want people to follow you, be more productive, be happy, not call in sick, a market for your company even though that's not their job, then you've got to make them want to follow you. You can't tell them
that
to do
sense.
It all.
That makes sense.
And so my challenge to organizations is when organizations bring me in to interview me and see if they want to use me, my challenge is always that to them. Do you want to increase your bottom line? Because if you want to increase your bottom line, I can help you. If you just want to say, I want some leadership development here, I can help you too. But why wouldn't you want both? And they go,
that
well,
makes a lot of sense.
How do you do that? I go, well, happy people are more productive. If you hire me and you take the time to get to know me and you actually, I feel like you care about me, am I not going to work harder? Right? This whole nonsense
exactly.
about people, you ever hear people say, well, I gave 110% or they gave 110%? That's not possible. I got a newsflash for people that use that term. It's not possible to be more than 100%, okay?
That's true.
It's not.
That's
so
true.
If you're saying that, stop, okay? This can't. The problem is most people go at about 50 to 60% when they work for bosses because they really don't like the person, but they're there for the paycheck.
That's true.
I worked for
That's
one
true.
Very early in my career. And I made more money at that point. That was the most money I'd ever made. I wasn't leaving that guy because he helped me make a lot of money, but he was a boss. Oh, he was a boss.
You didn't like him. I mean, you didn't like working with him. Was he micromanaging, huh?
No one did. No one did.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, it's tough. Well, you find people that maybe they're in a corporate business environment, but they should be in art or the science or maybe, be an entrepreneur in their own field. I don't know. I guess it's just, I guess that's part of the assessments that come up in the beginning to get people in so flipping over from that. Now, we're talking with Dave Ferguson. This is Real Universal Radio. Dave wrote a book also called I've got it right here, and I just dropped it. I'm sitting here, huh? Boss or Leader. Dave wrote a book called Boss or Leader, and you can get that on Amazon.com as well, right? Dave, can we go ahead and give your contact information?
Actually, if you go to my website, livingtolead.com, livingtolead.com, if you order it there, I'll autograph it and personalize it for you. It's been taken down off of Amazon temporarily.
Okay.
I can't tell you why. It's a surprise coming, but I can handle it. I can handle it for folks, and I'll personalize it for them if they give me their name too.
Okay. Perfect. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I want to switch over when you're doing leadership. How much does mindset have to do with all of it? Your day-to-day mindset.
Just about every bit of it.
Yeah.
Just about every bit of it. I mean, what's the first thing that people do? What's the first thing that most people do when they wake up every morning? Besides running to the bathroom. Right.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah.
What do you think? They turn the TV on.
Oh, they start watching the news, bad news and stuff. I don't turn it on, but I guess.
How's that for the month?
Yeah, the first thing I do is want to go, run to the bathroom and then go work out or go outside, take a walk. So a lot of people do turn the TV on to keep abreast of the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
First thing I do is read the Bible. Then I have a couple black coffee, and then I hit the pavement and I go work out.
Yeah, I pray first
positive.
Too. I always do that. You do. Yeah, I pray first
positive.
Too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That makes
a
big difference.
It's all how
you
start your day. So it is mindset. So when you I'm not trying to push my faith on anyone, but when you read from the best leadership Bible ever, I mean the best leadership book ever, the first thing every morning, then you step out as a leader.
You know what? I love that. And I see that a lot in your quotes and working with John Maxwell. Who's Christian? You know, I do. I pray right when. I mean, I always pray when I get up, and well, many times through the day. And I agree with you. That's just the best book in the world, and the best light. You know, it's reality. So that's awesome. But yeah, so the mindset, though. I mean, people have trials and tribulations, and they have good times, bad times, and it's really a matter of having faith and keeping focus. And so, somebody who's a leader may have bumps in the road, right? And they have to kind of get through it. All of us. And you're wondering,
have you ever had a bump in the road?
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The trials and tribulations, you know? We all do.
Yeah. I know everybody looks at my Facebook page and thinks I live this perfect little life. But I have bumps in the road, too. All the time.
Yeah.
For me, they're like those little, you know, when I was in high school, when I first got to drive my car to school, there were speed bumps in the parking lot, right? And, you know, the first time you go over a speed bump, you kind of ease over it because you don't know what it's going to feel like or what's going to happen, right? You know, by the second
and
week,
after
I was,
many times.
I just speed, by the second week, I was speeding over them. So I do the same thing when I hit speed bumps in my life, right?
Yep.
Right, the first time I gently approach it, the second time I speed over it because I don't let them get me down. I keep moving forward. And
that's so important. It's so important. I mean, I guess because it's really important. But you know, when you're a leader and they're talking about leadership and say, you know how the actors and actresses and the show must go on, the worst horrible thing can happen, and they still get on stage and they still, you know, do their production or show. And I guess as a leader, too, when so many people are relying on you, you have to go do that more than, say, somebody who's not a leader who can just call in sick that day, right? So that mindset really makes a huge difference. It really does. And for me, faith in God makes all the difference in the world. And then, you know, there's attacks, too, that come to you, and you're going to expect the attacks because when you have your faith, you know, that's part of it all. It's just part of what happens. But I still think – and then people have so many different things that can come into the situation. So I guess it's really good for leaders and bosses to know that they don't have to be perfect either, you know. Because I think
there's
probably
no, you can't be perfect. There's no such thing anywhere, right?
No, I agree. But I think some people might expect perfection in that, you know, or expect people to always show up or be a certain way. You know, it's kind of
But and that's a mistake in leadership. Because I will tell you this: that the humbler the leader, the more followers they'll have.
That makes
sense. The leader with the most humility wins.
Makes so much sense.
It does, right? Well, we struggle with that as human beings. As human beings, I see that in assessments all the time. They're not, you know, humility is one of the, there's several questions in one of the leadership assessments I do that draws to humility. And I see it all the time as a weakness. We don't want to admit our faults to other people. We don't.
Are you seeing in the assessment that their ego is getting in the way and they're not having humility or what?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's ego. Sometimes it's just fear of sharing, you know, sharing failures with people.
Yeah. Transparency, huh? It seems that our world now with the social networking and everything, everybody's out there telling people almost everything they're doing, you know, et cetera. It seems that transparency, now you would know better than I, and it's a kind of a question, a loaded question. Do you think transparency is better now than it was years ago? Because years ago, of course, people kept more things close to their chest. And do you think it's still there more now with all the social networking?
I think it depends. I think, look, a lot of people only put great stuff on social networking, right? On social media, you know. But there's a lot of people that throw their whole life out there, too. And, God, some of it just drives me crazy. But, you know.
I know.
Right? There are some people that throw it all out there. And I'm like, TMI, right? But,
somebody, I saw, oh my God, no, I saw somebody literally a month ago, because I don't put mine out there pretty much. I guess I'm just more private in it, but I saw somebody out there, she literally had bruises on her behind from an accident, and she put the picture on page, and I know this person, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, okay, this is like too much, you know?
Too much.
And,
yeah. I get that too. People tell me I put too much out there sometimes, but I don't usually listen to them.
I don't think you do. I haven't noticed it. I think yours makes sense. I mean, it's not.
Well,
I think when you're putting sharing from your heart and you're telling all that, I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. I mean, some of the things people are putting out there is, well, just, you know, it's a matter. I don't want to judge either, because if they're happy doing it and their friends are happy with it, then and it's okay, you know? It's just, it's interesting.
I want to share with you.
I
was going to.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to share with you something earlier, and I didn't get to. And this happened today with one of my calls. This is how fresh this information is, okay? This happened this morning, one of my first calls. Now, this guy is I'm not going to mention his name. He's actually a celebrity, okay? So it was a very early morning call from L.A., and I've been working with this gentleman now for about 8 months, okay? And we're working on leadership, believe it or not, because he also owns a pretty large business, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he has been for the last couple of months spending a day in every department in his business, not as the boss, working alongside people at every level.
Do they know it's him? Do they know it's him, or are they just, or no?
Absolutely, they know it. Absolutely, they know it's
okay.
him. but he's,
I mean, some,
but he's a servant,
okay.
But he's a servant leader. Okay.
Right.
So, this business, without me telling you, I don't want to give away who this is. So this business has people as far as big shot senior vice presidents, but also has people that literally you don't even need a high school education to work there, and you are doing very menial manual work. Okay.
Okay.
You know, minimum wage work. He has been working with those folks as well. Okay? So he's
That's
coming
great.
Alongside
That's great.
Them. Okay? And working with them. And it's not for some TV show. It's not because
That's great.
I assigned it to him. He is a natural servant leader. It's just in him. Okay? But you know, he's got no turnover. In an industry that's got turnover through the roof, he's
wow.
got almost none. And so, you know, that's what leaders do. It's too many leaders boss people around, and they're not willing to do what they ask them to do. And they just
right.
bark out orders. You know, think about this, right? Most people like working with other people as a team, you know.
Right.
You know, one of the things I struggled with when I left corporate America is, oh, my God, I'm not part of a team anymore. Okay, so what's
right,
one of the first
sense.
Things I did? I searched out people like John Maxwell. I'm like, I got to team up with you. I got to be on some kind of a team or something. Okay, that's just me. And so when I work with a company like that, that's got almost 11,000 employees, guess who's part of the team? Coach Dave.
That's fantastic. Right,
yeah,
right.
Everybody in that organization knows who I am.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, that's what leaders do. And I'm not saying I'm this great leader. I can get better all the time, okay? But I just – my biggest point I like to make when I'm getting questions like this is that leadership is not difficult, okay? It really, really isn't. You could read my very simple 94-page book, Boss or Leader, get it at livingtolead.com, okay? I wrote it very simplistically. And you could put it all into action tomorrow, okay? Or you can read John
right.
Maxwell's books. But really, it's just connecting with people. Connect with people. That's where we lose it. That's
right.
We're all running 1,000 miles an hour.
Right. I've noticed with our businesses, it's mostly, you know, 80% to 90% of our business are repeat business and referrals. Even though, you know, of course, we're out on the internet, but the it's more repeat and referrals from past relationships and past business,
yeah.
which is awesome.
For relationship business, if you make it a transaction business, you know.
That's no, it's wonderful. It's just so you're in out. What do you do if you're a leader and you're trying to deal with personality conflicts? I mean, is that something you depending on the side of the organization, of course, depending if you're going to delegate it to someone else or you're going to get in and handle it head on?
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm glad you brought that up because so many people run from that. You have to, as leaders can't ignore it. You can't ignore it.
So would a leader would want to call the person or call the group privately, right? They're not going to embarrass anybody in front of everyone, I would think, right? But you think they need to get it out there. It's like a cancer that's could grow, or
yeah, you got to cut it before it grows.
Yeah,
you can't ignore it.
It doesn't
go away. You know,
right.
These things don't go away. They usually snowball more than go away, you know what I mean? They just don't go away.
Wow. Well, do you think, because with a lot of the small entrepreneurs and small mom-and-pop brokerages, they're multitasking, they're doing all the jobs in the brokerage as well as delegating. Do you think that's, I guess when you take, we're thinking about like the person you're working with now, are 11,000 employees, they must have started off, I don't know if they started off ground level or purchased a company or what, where they, so you wonder how somebody does take, say, a business and 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, and you grow it and can grow it to 11,000 people. That must take, it seems like it takes an extraordinary, how long?
This company just celebrated its 40th year in business.
40th?
Yep. Just 40th year. Just celebrated their 40th
wow.
year.
Okay.
And by the way, it's privately owned.
That's fantastic.
Not even public, yeah. Very fantastic, trust me.
Wow.
And the leader of the organization who started it is an amazing servant leader.
Wow, I love it.
So they have a great role model at the top.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Just sometimes, when you grow, sometimes it can get lost. So, you know, they invest a lot of money in making sure that their leadership is always developing. And it shows in their results. It shows the return on investment.
It sounds like it.
The return on investment is huge.
Wow, it sounds like it.
If you just take what I said before. So, for anybody on the phone, I don't care if you have two people in your company or 10,000. Okay? I want you to think about this. Just accept the fact that maybe 90% of your employment force is coming to work just because they need to make money. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So accept that. Now accept that you can change it in some people. So if you had 10 employees and you said, yep, Dave, I agree, nine of them come to work just for that paycheck. So what if in the next 6 months, you could get 3 of those 9 to be coming to work for more than just a paycheck? What would productivity look like? What would the environment look like? What would your bottom line look like? It all changes when that changes. And the thing about it is, as a leader, all you have to do sometimes to make that happen is sit down with your people and connect with them.
That makes a lot of sense.
But oftentimes, I can tell you, just like social media, right? In social media, most people only give us what they want us to see, right?
Right, exactly.
That's what happens at work, too, okay?
That's true.
They only tell you what they want you to see, and if you're a boss, you don't even care about that.
Well, you know, Dave, just one of the things, it's a question, because I've been in the industry 31 years, and I started my brokerage first in Maryland, and then I wanted to be back in Hawaii, living in Hawaii as a child, so I wanted to go back. So I downsized Maryland, then went to Hawaii, built that up, but was just building up the business so much, not making the brokerage huge, just building the business more with just a handful of people on purpose because I wanted to leverage it that way. But one of the things that I started, we were all brick and mortar. And I owned a building back in the 90s that I bought when I was like 28 and et cetera. And when I downsized to go to Hawaii, I said, no, with the internet and what I believe in with our membership that I've been growing over the years, not as well as I wanted to because I was spending so much time on the brokerage in Hawaii. But I immediately said, we want to leverage it and do it virtually, more of it virtually. So we have a situation where we have people working for us and in different places, and it's virtual. So we're communicating on the phone constantly. We do have good rapport. But the old days of the brick and mortar where we're all getting in the office every day and people are having the weekly meetings physically in person aren't happening. So I guess and we all connect, but it's a different connection. It's so different than the old days. Do you have anything that you could – do you think that – because more and more people in not just real estate and other businesses are loving – I'm hearing that they're loving their companies, allowing them to stay home and work maybe 2 days out of 5 and ultimately possibly work from home later completely. What is your take on that? Do you think, because I see that as a way of the future, working virtually. I would never want to go back totally brick and mortar 100%. Of course, we have offices, but they're just small offices now. You know, most people aren't going into the office. So do you think that's taken away from, because to me, it's a way of the future. Once you get used to doing that, it's hard to ever think of going back into the brick and mortar every day. Do you think it's still possible to connect and keep it lively and make everybody be happy? Because what we find is a lot of people are happy that they have their own time. They don't have to drive in. They don't have to spend the extra 2 hours a day getting ready and going into work when they can just work from home. But that changes everything. It's not like the old days where you have everybody in one location.
Yeah, I mean that's changed. Yeah, I don't think it matters. If you are committed to connecting with people, it doesn't really matter. I mean, have we connected?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Have we ever met face to face?
No. And I have clients and customers all over that I've never met, believe it or not. I mean, you know, because of that. I mean, personally, in person. No, so I see what you're saying. I'm just wondering, because you just look at it, you see it, you're seeing a lot of the brick and mortar as well. And, you know, in the old days, people still like to go and they like to meet face-to-face or say globally, like locally, they like to see people. Like we have brokers we work with in different states and they have their brokerages locally, yet we like to talk globally, you know, type of thing. And but it's just, it's definitely all about people and relationships, but it's just different. But, you know, there's still many companies that are sending their people out on planes to go physically meet with people, right, and have their business meetings in person, you know, so it's it's hard to say where that's going to end up eventually. Although I personally love the internet. I love being able to have meeting after meeting and not have to leave and be in the same location and have meetings all over the place. People constantly say, "Can we meet in person?" And it's like, "Well, can we do it over the phone?" And I know that may not solidify some relationships as well as it could. And I guess that's probably a judgment call. I don't know.
Look, I like meeting with people face to face. But the fact of the matter is, I've got clients all over the world. You know, so I can't be in Singapore every week.
Exactly.
Okay. I can't be. You know, I called this morning. My first call was in Singapore. Now I'm going there in August, but I can't be there all the time. But can I help that person with their leadership on the phone? Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, absolutely.
So go back. That kind of all goes back to the mindset, right?
No, absolutely, totally. I agree, 100%. It's and you're able to do a lot. It just works beautifully. Nowadays, you know, it's easy to share computer screens, or do webinars, we've been doing teleseminars since the late 90s. But
right.
It's so easy to connect, or lots of people are using Skype. Yeah. I love connecting over the phone and not having to do the Skype part of it, because you're able to just jump into it. But yeah, it's fantastic. Well, this has gone. Can you believe we have about 10 minutes left and we didn't even throw in a commercial?
Cool. Who needs commercials?
Who needs them? Who needs them? Who needs commercials? Who needs TV in the morning? I know. It's
That's
a dream.
Right.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It's yeah, that news. Well, you know, before, what do you think about this political environment we're in right now? I know that's a touchy subject to get
Ooh.
On, but
Well, if you follow me on Facebook, you probably know. But you know what?
That's where I went. I'm in that direction
you,
too.
You asked me, so I'm going to tell you. Okay. We need a shakeup in this country. Okay, and I think we're getting it. I think
I agree.
Finally, and a lot of it I don't like, okay?
Right.
I don't like the protesting. I don't like the riots. I don't like all that. But you know what? That generally precedes some major change, okay? And I believe that the people of this country, okay, now we're split, you know, I can't understand why some people vote for some people and why they don't vote for some people.
Right.
But we're in for the next couple, between now and November, is going to be pretty hectic and pretty crazy in this country.
I agree.
But I think at the end of the day, a leader will emerge, and a leader that's got character, even though a lot of people are trying to say that person doesn't have character. Okay.
Well, it's almost like a show right now, but it's like Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree.
Right. You know,
yeah.
But I think that will happen, and I think that we're going to be well on our way of making America great again.
No, I do agree. I think I agree. We seem to really need a shakeup, because it's been such a mess, big mess. But it's just a different world we're in.
I'm not a person. Look, I travel all over the world. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is hands down still the best place in the world to live. Okay? In my opinion, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Okay?
Right.
But but we're good. We're not great anymore, okay?
No,
and I will argue that all day long. And so I'm not putting down this country that I love and this country that has given me so much opportunity, but I think we're lying to ourselves and we're saying we're still great. And I think we need a leader to get us back there.
No, I think that's really a great point. That's a great point.
Having said, let me just finish this point. Having said that, I think what everyone needs to hear is that we can't point our fingers at the top all the time. Leadership begins with you.
Mhm.
Okay. So it starts.
Amen. I totally agree. Yeah.
Mhm. So don't wait for the president. Don't wait for your governor. Don't wait for your town council person. Be a leader.
Yeah. We were on. We were on Talking Politics last week, and getting into why it's so important to vote and just get into your community and do things. And we thought, you know, you always hear people saying, well, I'm too busy, I can't do this, can't do that. Everybody has an hour a week, you know, or everybody can do something and get in and start making even small incremental changes. You know, it just starts, and you're right, it starts with you. Definitely starts with you. It's you know, the United States of America is such a wonderful country, and we're founded on Christianity, which seems to be going out the window, and hopefully a lot of us are still standing our ground. And we're a true melting pot, and I think that's something we don't see in many countries, you know, like we do here. And I think that's probably the best. One of the best and highest uses of what we do in the United States, if we could just all start learning to have the attitudes and get along, because it still to me seems so divided and so old, you know, old-timey in so many different places. And I guess that's where it really does start with us individually and having our faith and making differences. So it's going to be interesting. But I agree. I think it's going to be shaken up pretty badly. It's hard to say what's going to happen. During the shakeup, right? So, because it may get pretty ugly, I think, before November.
It's going to get
here.
Ugly, but you know, that always precedes a big change. And it's the nature of the beast, right? But I think the fact that people are getting a little more involved is good.
Me too. Yep.
I do. Yep. I really do. So what else? Got any questions for me? Anybody got?
I'm looking at.
What do you want to know? What do you want to learn about leadership?
Well, see, we've got to. I'd love to have you back too, because this went by so fast. Mindset in relationship to performance, and it's daily mindset. I guess it's good to get into. What do you think about meditating, daily exercises, praying? You know, seeing the glass half full.
Yeah, I think you have to spend some time for reflection, right? Whatever you call it, meditation, exercise. I think you have to spend some time reflecting. And reflecting, people always think reflecting is looking back, okay? Reflect,
right.
You know, the rear view mirror is much, much smaller than the front windshield, okay? And you're only really supposed to peek. You're only supposed to take a peek in the rear view mirror. You're not supposed to get stuck in it. If you get stuck in it, you're going to have a head-on crash, okay? So you can peak. Reflection allows growth to catch up to you.
That's a good way to put it. Reflection allows growth to catch up to you.
Think about it. Some of us run at such fast paces. Our business, our
right.
family, our hobbies, and next thing you know, it's like, whew, man, everything's just going so fast that nothing ever catches up. But sometimes you have
point.
To pause. You have to take a pause and reflect to let growth catch up to you a little bit.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I feel like we all have God gave us such wonderful gifts, and we all have different gifts and different talents. And some of us have had missions, and other, you know, there's just to serve is so important, and it just really is just a wonderful thing to do. And I guess we can always grow. We can grow forever till the day we die, right? Forever.
Well, I say this.
And never
I say this. His gift to us was potential. Our gift back should be fully realized.
Amen. Absolutely. It's wonderful. So how did it? So I know you're basically dealing with large corporations, and people can definitely should get your book. Definitely, absolutely should get your book, Boss or Leader, and you can get that at on your website?
They can go to my website, livingtolead.com. If also if anybody wants to contact me, they can contact me through the website as well. There's a contact section there.
And I notice you have a newsletter people can sign up for good tips and information, and then you have a blog as well. So
I do, and it's and I don't spam people. It comes once a quarter, so you're not going to get an email from me every day like some other people I know.
Well, they're teaching everybody now to do that, like so many times a week.
Yeah.
Depends what course you take, right?
You know, I teach leaders to unsubscribe to them.
Okay, really? All of them, yeah.
It's clutter.
You know, I literally have 280 some thousand emails just in the past year. It's just crazy, but it's, you know, it just
it's
so, and it's just a lot of stuff comes in. It's just crazy. A lot of it's junk, but yeah, there's simplify, right? Keep it simple.
Yep, keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you on. I've got another quick thing. This is on fitness and exercise. How do you fit in exercise in a busy day?
25 minutes a day.
That's it?
Everybody's got 25 minutes a day. Yep. Just high intensity for 25 minutes, whether it's lifting a weight or running. Intensity, 25 minutes a day. Are there days I go longer? Yes, but my I call it my irreducible minimum. My irreducible minimum for exercise is 6 times a week, 25 minutes.
Do you listen to headsets or anything, or do you just get away from everything, just totally do a workout?
25 minutes, I don't listen to anything.
Okay. So that focus in. I tend to want to multitask a lot, you know, where you're wanting to do other things at the same time, and I guess it's not a good idea. You know, where you want to listen to a headset or listen to something or read a book while you're riding. Like, I'll tend to read a book while I'm riding the bicycle, the stationary bike.
Then I would be willing. Then here's my point about that. If you're doing that, you're not pedaling hard enough.
Good point. I'm going to take that into consideration because it makes sense. Yeah, I think it's probably more of like a leisure activity. You're just pedaling and reading and kind of, Makes sense.
If you got on there and did that for an hour, you'd read a couple of chapters, right? And you might burn 500 calories, okay? But I could teach you to get on that bike for 25 minutes of high intensity, where your metabolism would be burning all day long, you would burn more calories.
Wow, I'm gonna put the book down. That's it. That makes a lot of sense.
25 minutes.
Wow, that intensity and focus. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And change these things. Well, this has been fantastic, fantastic. We're already at the end of the show. I can't believe it. So it's if you want to give any parting words out there, because you've just you're amazing. And this is Dave Ferguson.
Thank you.
Natalie Mullenix with Real Universal Radio. And what do you want to tell the audience that just to one, never quit, right? And just what to do to just keep yourself going and learn. And what I just learned from you on the bike is amazing, because I've always loved to read a book, and now I see why it's not working.
Well, leaders are readers, right? Most of the execs I coach reads multiple books a month, okay?
Yeah.
They're always asking me, what should I read next? What should I read next? So leaders are learners, leaders are readers, but leadership starts with you. And everyone can be a leader. Everyone. I'll debate anybody they want on anybody you want on that. I'll debate. Anyone can be a leader.
It sounds like a plan. Sounds like a great plan.
Thanks for having me on. Enjoy.
Hey, thanks for coming. I hope you all appreciate it so much. And have a wonderful rest of your week. I appreciate coming on. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.